Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin's Midday News, making stories come to life. Now, here are your hosts, Greg Matzik and Jessica Todd.
And along with that, no warnings or watches. We did have some earlier today. Those expired about 12:45 for Jefferson County and Dodge County. Walworth County was included in that. I think Fond du Lac as well. So no warnings, no watches, but rain is coming down. Be cautious. Get those lights on if you're out on the roads.
Here's your top 2 at 2 on Wisconsin's Midday News.
Number one, witnesses are now testifying in the trial of a man accused of shooting and killing a Milwaukee police officer. The jury was set this morning. 9 men and 5 women will decide the fate of Tremaine Jones. That's 12 jurors and 2 alternates, just in case something happens. The 23-year-old is charged with first-degree intentional homicide and first-degree attempted homicide, among other charges, in the shooting incident last June. Officer Kendall Corder and Officer Christopher McRae were responding to a domestic violence call on the city's north side when they were ambushed. Investigators say Jones jumped from behind a bush in the dark and fired a gun at the officers. Today, the prosecution ended its opening statements on this note.
Officer Corder and Officer McRae were sent there because people called for help, and they're the police. The defendant was there with a short-barreled rifle because he was there for a fight between girls, and he demanded people come outside or he was going to shoot. And Officer Corder died because of that.
And this is how the defense sees the case.
The one thing that makes this tragedy worse is if we don't have the right person. And it's defense's position here. The state doesn't have the right person.
Officer Corder died at a hospital 3 days later. Officer McRae survived his injuries. Witnesses called today include a Milwaukee police officer who manages the ShotSpotter program, a system that tracks gunfire in real time. If I remember correctly, when I was listening to him as he was being introduced, he said he's been with the department for 21 years, and he's been with the Fusion Division for about 7 years, so managing that ShotSpotter system. And you'll hear us talk about that from time to time, anytime there's an uptick or an increase in gunfire in the area. They also called a Milwaukee detective who talked about the 911 calls from that area that night. Jones has pleaded not guilty in the case. He faces life in prison if convicted. The trial is expected to go through the end of the week, but it could creep into next week.
Number two, Tiger Woods was looking down at his phone and changing the radio station before a rollover crash in Florida last week, according to a probable cause affidavit. Woods was arrested on suspicion of driving under the influence Friday after his Land Rover clipped a truck and rolled onto its side near his home on Jupiter Island, Florida. Woods was charged with DUI, refusing a lawful test, and property damage. He passed a breathalyzer test but refused to submit a urinalysis. The affidavit notes that 2 hydrocodone pills were found in his pocket and that Woods admitted to taking medication earlier in the day. Police also reported Woods to be lethargic in nature. A specific court date has not been finalized. It's also not the first time Woods has had an issue with driving under the influence. In 2017, he was arrested for driving under the influence after being found asleep at the wheel. He later pleaded guilty to reckless driving. In February of 2021, Woods suffered a severe leg injury, in fact, multiple. It was career-threatening in a single-car rollover crash in Los Angeles. This was happening as we were getting off the air last week, Friday, and they had a little press conference afterwards. He was jailed for 8 hours. That's customary in the state of Florida, and ultimately released on bond. But the latest update here is that Wood says he was looking at his phone and changing the radio station. A court date has not been finalized.
And if you don't pay attention to his dating history, and I know not many of you do, but some of you do because he has dated very high-profile people in the past. My mind goes directly to Lindsey Vonn. What was that, back in the, I don't know, like 2012 for a few years? You might not have realized that he has most recently been dating Vanessa Trump. And some people now know that because when this happened, all of a sudden people were like, was Vanessa in the car? Was her daughter in the car? So just kind of a little tidbit. They were not in the car, by the way. So they're just fine. But some people didn't even realize that that relationship was happening. Other people very much so in the know, but just a little aside. Another teen takeover in Milwaukee County and a new message to try to stop these. Police responded to 23rd and Burleigh last night after someone fired a gun during a teen takeover at Moody Park. It started with another social media post. So the teens promote the takeover online, then dozens of kids show up. And as we've witnessed over the last few days, fights break out. It happened last night at Moody Park, happened Sunday at Bayshore. A lot of people wondering who might be next. Where might it happen next? Well, Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley is hoping parents will play a role in stopping these.
And so I want to urge all the parents to stay engaged in your child's life. I mean, look at their social media. Know where they are going, who they're with. I mean, talk to your kids about what they're posting and sharing online. I do that with my daughter. She's 18. I mean, spreading messages of violence can make an already dangerous situation even worse. We shouldn't allow violence to go viral in the first place. I mean, my daughter is who told me about what was happening.
So just a couple of hours ago, I noticed, because I follow Third Street Market Hall for many reasons, but also because it's right outside of our doors here, they had posted basically a reminder about age, safety, and conduct policies. So saying, hey, here at Third Street Market Hall, we are committed to keeping the market hall a safe and welcoming space for everyone. That's the same thing we heard from Bayshore and we hear from Mayfair, right? So the reminder went out just a couple of hours ago here. Please note, guests under the age of 18 must have a parent, teacher, or guardian with them. The market hall is 21 and up after 8 p.m. daily, and disruptive or unsafe behavior will not be tolerated. So I'm here, I'm thinking, okay, putting this all together, do they know something, or are they just thinking? We do have a lot of teams who come here because it's a great place to have some food and to play some games. Are they just preemptively thinking, we're going to put this out there because we don't want anything to happen here? Now it sounds like they know something.
Well, 5 minutes ago, we received an email from, if you come to Good Karma Brands, our offices here, you'd walk in, you'd see Morgan. She'd be the first person to see and greet you as you walk in the door at Good Karma Brands. She sent an email as our home office administrator just moments ago, 5 minutes ago, saying we wanted to make you aware of a temporary building access update for this afternoon. In response to what you're suggesting here, Jessica, building management shared they were notified of a planned gathering of teens at Third Street Market Hall this afternoon as a precaution beginning at 3 o'clock today. So in 40 minutes, the Avenue and Plankinton building will move to FOB access only. At all entry points, there will also be increased on-site security presence this afternoon. And then she goes through details if we have people, guests arriving and what the protocol is for that. So it looks like they are on guard here at the 3rd Street Market Hall, preparing with extra security, FOB access, just preparing for what could be, hundreds of teens gathering like we have seen here in other parts of the city over the last few days.
Here's the thing. I'm hoping that the weather could put a squash to this if this is indeed going to happen, because we have seen that. All of a sudden, you get some rain and the kids are like, man, we don't want to go out there, right? That happens. On the flip side, just as we get warm weather, and as we saw Sunday and into Monday, the warm weather hits, the kids want to be out, and that has also impacted things as well. And that's why there's concern about this summer. If this is going on now, what could happen later? It's really messed up. I mean, the social media pages where these kids are posting about the takeovers, I know one of them, at least on Instagram, promotes good vibes only. So you see it. You go on there and it'll say good vibes only, Bayshore. And then there was another post. If you can't go to Bayshore, go to Mayfair. But then it's also, at least this one that I was looking at, posting videos that go away after about 24 hours, showing the fights. And kids just punching each other. And in many cases, which blows my mind too, just young ladies just taking swings. Milwaukee is not the only city dealing with this right now. Chicago also dealing with this. I saw there was a teen takeover in Hyde Park last night. And this one, I mean, I almost don't even want to say it out loud, but teens were jumping on top of cars and just leaping from one to the other, kind of like doing a run and leap, leap, leap. Police eventually got there, but not before those cars were damaged. So Milwaukee County definitely needs to get this under control before summer arrives. And yes, to the county executive's point, parents need to help.
Well, it's a spring break week for many in this area, yeah. And this is how they're choosing to enjoy their spring break, perhaps, which they decide to do other things. But my point is this. It might be Third Street Market all today. It might be another area of downtown Milwaukee tomorrow.
Totally.
And then the following day, you're at the early stages of spring break here. So the thought that this could continue is certainly not a far-fetched one. So, look, I'm not trying to discourage anybody from coming to the Third Street Market Hall. This is largely a very safe and inviting and welcoming place
exactly.
with great food
yeah.
options. And, you know, you got the Bucks game later tonight. It'll be crowded for the dinner hour, you'd have to imagine. But they are issuing us just a note, just making you aware, here's what we're doing, that they are planning for 3 o'clock today for a gathering of teens here at the Third Street Market Hall.
You know, and I just played a little bit of the county executive's message, but he had more, and it was pretty lengthy. And I felt like he also got real, which I did appreciate. Listen to this part.
I know what it's like to be a teenager in Milwaukee. And when I was growing up, there wasn't always a lot for us to do. I mean, we had to figure it out, find ways to connect and make something out of what we had. Whether it was probably playing tag or something, right? But I want to be honest with you and be real. I made some mistakes growing up, too. I did some things I probably shouldn't have, but nothing that landed me or my friends in the news.
Yeah, don't end up in the news or in jail. Or arrested. You don't want that.
Yeah. It's a smaller version of those street takeovers we saw toward the end of last summer that were kind of out of control in areas of downtown Milwaukee. And there were some rules and laws put into place there, which is good. Not sure how translatable those are, but certainly tickets have been issued when fights break out, disorderly conduct, things like that. Police will be on guard, no doubt. It's 223, call it 224 here on WTMJ. Weather's starting to calm down a little bit. You might be experiencing some rain right now. There are some lightning sights here as well in areas in Jefferson County or so, even extending up to Milwaukee and a little bit north to West Bend. All the severe stuff is pretty much gone. No watches, no warnings here. Just a kind of a wet afternoon here as you get closer to your evening commute. 224 on WTMJ.
It's Tech Tuesday with ABC News technology reporter Mike Dubusky.
We're not sure if he will be a judge in the upcoming AI beauty pageant, but he is our guest every Tuesday on Tech Tuesday.
The latest and greatest in the world of tech.
Tesla's next product, they call it a robo-taxi. These are AR glasses. They're called simply the frame.
On Wisconsin's Midday News.
Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto, Domo.
It's Tuesday. That means a Tech Tuesday on Wisconsin's Midday News, our weekly check-in with ABC tech expert. It's Mike Dubusky. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing well. So maybe better than AI right now. A new Quinnipiac University poll released just yesterday confirms a significant disconnect here. Americans are using AI, myself included, but trusting the technology, that's a much different picture.
Yes, more people are using artificial intelligence and seemingly fewer people are trusting the result that they're getting from this technology, guys. 76% of Americans, according to this Quinnipiac survey, say that they can trust the information generated by AI either hardly ever or only some of the time. And that also coincides with increasing amounts of concern around this technology. 62% of people say they're not so or not at all excited about AI. 80% say they're somewhat concerned about it. You put that up against the amount of people who are enthusiastic about this technology, about 35%. So there's a real imbalance there as well. But as we mentioned, more and more people are trying this technology out, integrating it into some of their everyday use cases. 51% of American adults say they use artificial intelligence to research topics that they're curious about. That is up from 37% this time last year.
So, Mike, what's the biggest breaking point issue for Americans right now? Is it misinformation? Is it privacy? Or because they think AI is going to take their job?
I think it's probably a little bit of all of those things. Quinnipiac didn't actually specifically dive into why people are feeling one way or the other about this technology, but cumulatively, these kind of topics do come up. The one thing I've been thinking about since this data came out yesterday, guys, is the term cognitive dissonance, right? This idea that what your experience of something is different from what you're being told it is. And what we've heard from kind of the leading lights in Silicon Valley, Sam Altman, Sundar Pichai, Mark Zuckerberg, is that, you know, artificial intelligence is inevitable. inevitable. It's right around the corner, and it's going to reshape everything, generally for good reasons, but also potentially for some risky ones as well. And there's a lot of internal debates between companies like OpenAI and Anthropic about how to ethically and usefully develop this artificial intelligence. But when the average person goes to a ChatGPT, there's a decent chance that the answer it's going to spit back to you is not accurate, or at least in some ways misleading. Even the most advanced models to this day, 3 years and more since the launch of ChatGPT, they still hallucinate. They still get things wrong from time to time. And I think that creates this trust problem, leading to this larger cognitive dissonance between people who are saying, well, okay, the guys who are in charge of this technology say it's so great, but my average experience is kind of lacking in some ways.
So the majority of Americans now believe AI will do more harm than good in their daily lives. I went back and looked at last year's study, and that's about an 11% jump, which tells me you might have been excited kind of about it last year and thought, well, the technology will only improve. So you'd think that number would maybe shrink going into another year of development, but it's only grown. What does that say about the technology in general and where things stand with regulations?
Yeah, it really underscores an anxiety as it applies to AI potentially being used to supplant jobs. 70% of Americans say that AI advancements are likely to lead to a decrease in job opportunities. That's also an increase from last year, which the figure was around 56%. Larger shares of younger Americans, too, say that advancements in AI will decrease the number of job opportunities for people. That's compared to older Americans. So there's this anxiety among people who are either in high school, in college, about to graduate and enter the working world, thinking that, you know, a company might not want to hire me because they can do, you know, this entry level position with artificial intelligence. This is something we've seen borne out in the coding space. People who, you know, learn to code, this very, you know, at one time, a very lucrative career path to take. A lot of entry level coding is now done by artificial intelligence, which has, you know, made it very difficult for, you know, people kind of coming up in that world to gain a foothold. As it applies to regulation, which you mentioned there, 76% of Americans, according to this survey, think that businesses are not doing enough to be transparent about their use of artificial intelligence. Again, going back to this trust question, they also think in about the same rate, 74% of Americans, they don't think the government is doing enough to regulate the use of artificial intelligence. We've seen from the Trump administration over the past year and a bit now at this point, very pro AI, you know, kind of statements. They've tried to make sure that, you know, AI companies are able to act freely to develop this technology at a rate that is competitive with the rest of the world, namely China. But also that kind of underscores this trust issue, guys. If you can't trust the technology, then you're unlikely to subscribe to one of these services. And that means these companies aren't going to, you know, make a profit, which, again, continues to be a real problem for them.
So, Mike, what's the fastest way for these AI companies to regain public trust then? Is it the regulation, or is it maybe just time? Time will get more people feeling better about this.
That's kind of the existential question facing this whole industry right now, right? Is how do we fix the trust problem? Well, for one, you could fix the hallucination problem,
yeah.
But I think that's maybe, you know, making it more of a simplistic answer than it probably should be. Since ChatGPT launched, we said that it was pretty good at replicating human language. It can create, you know, paragraphs and paragraphs of text, just basically the flip of a switch. But the output that you're actually reading there might not always be accurate. That was true in 2022. It remains true today. And that is despite a lot of the advancements that we hear in terms of, like, model performance on these benchmark tests that come from the, you know, Sam Altmans and the Dario Amodes of the world. So, you know, I think it's a real perennial problem for them to fix. It comes against the backdrop of an increasing cash crunch. OpenAI says they plan to spend $600 billion before the end of the decade, and that is before anybody's really paying to use this stuff. 900 million people use ChatGPT every month, according to the company. Only 5% of them subscribe to it, right? Only 5% of them opt to pay for it. That means that they don't see enough value in paying for it, and that, I think, will just come with the trust, right? Like, you need to make people trust it so that they will eventually shell out some money for it. And so far, I don't really see a clear path to them doing that.
Negative remarks on how AI will impact education, Mike. I thought that was interesting because just this month, in fact, we had somebody on about a week ago from Milwaukee School of Engineering. This is a prominent engineering school in the country located right here in Milwaukee. they just rolled out a plan to integrate AI into every single degree program, from business to computer science to nursing, you name it. If it's a degree program at MSOE, AI is involved. So they're really leaning into it. Yeah. Because we know AI is so wide-ranging. It's not about, you know, ChatGPT telling you to put batteries on your pizza. There's so many different applications, and they're really going all in on this.
Right. I'm pretty sure it was glue on your pizza, but even still, the hallucination problem there, you know, it persists. But you're absolutely right to say that there are wide-reaching applications for this technology. I'll hit you with one more stat about the education piece of this. 64% of people said that AI will do more harm than good for education. That is up from last year by about 10%, and you compare that to the amount of people who think that AI will actually be a boon to education, only about 27% of people said that, according to this survey. This also comes against the backdrop of a real transition point in the artificial intelligence sector. We talked last week about how OpenAI, kind of the leading company here, the maker of ChatGPT, is maybe taking a step back from more consumer-facing technologies like Sora, their video generator, which they just pulled the plug on, in favor of enterprise technologies, you know, business applications, whether that happens in the healthcare sector, the education sector, the military sector, as opposed to something that's like an app that you download and put on your phone, right? They're not seeing this as like the next Facebook. They're seeing this as the next like Salesforce. And I think that is an important thing to keep in the back of your mind as we think about the next few years of this industry. There are a lot of applications, but are they applications that are always in front of our face? Not necessarily. They could be happening in the background, and maybe that's more of a lucrative path for these companies.
Mike, I have to share this with you, because as soon as this survey and the results of it came out, I went to AI. I named mine Nova. I think I named it something else in the past, and I couldn't remember. So it
was that a Planet of the Apes reference?
No. but I said, how do you feel about artificial intelligence? I just thought I might get a kick out of this. So I shared this with Greg yesterday and our fans as well, but you might enjoy it too. It's a good question. Kind of funny to answer too. I don't feel things the way you do, but I can give you a grounded take based on how I see it. Artificial intelligence is basically a tool. Powerful, flexible, and a little unpredictable depending on how people use it. It can amplify good decisions, but it can also amplify bad ones. Misinformation, over-reliance, cutting corners. And it said the interesting part isn't really the tech itself, it's the human layer around it. And I thought, how true does that seem?
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty even-handed response,
right?
From artificial intelligence. Which model were you talking to, if I can?
This is just ChatGPT.
Oh, okay.
Basically said, yeah. AI tends to reflect whoever's using it.
Yes, which I think is accurate, right? We've seen this as we talk about, you know, things like AI psychosis, where, you know, people go to this technology and they, you know, pour a lot of personal information into it, and they eventually build up a connection to it. The real risk there, according to people who study this type of thing, is that, you know, this is just going to amplify kind of what you put in. It is a mirror as much as it is, you know, an answer machine. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind. For what it's worth, Quinnipiac also asked about AI companionship. People said about 5% of them use AI for companionship, or 15% use it for personal advice. So that's also something to keep in the back of your mind.
Nova and I aren't that tight.
That's probably
yet, anyway.
I think that's reasonable.
Getting to know you, though. It's getting to know you. That's what it's trying to do anyway.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
this great information with ABC's Mike Dubusky. It's a Tech Tuesday. We appreciate it, Mike. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Just about a minute or so left here on the program. Excited about this. T-minus about a day until the launch window for NASA's Artemis II mission. They're attempting to orbit the moon and get further away from Earth than anyone has ever done before. It's a group of four astronauts that are hopefully going to embark on this mission. Of course, they put windows for this kind of stuff. And you look at the probabilities, it looks like about an 80% chance of this thing getting off within its window of time and traveling 250,000 miles away from the Earth's surface.
Wow.
Amazing.
Wouldn't you like that window be 100%?
I feel like it's, I don't know if I'd have a sense of dissatisfaction for orbiting the moon and not like landing on it. Like, hey, can we do a little pit stop over here?
Oh,
like,
really?
Just want to hang out?
I might just like to orbit and like see it first. Then maybe the next time you go up, you're like, okay, now I'm feeling like I can get out and walk on it. Like baby steps.
And this is like Apollo 13 kind of stuff. In fact, Apollo 13 was previously, provided that Artemis 2 gets to its destination, the aircraft that or spacecraft that went furthest away from the Earth's surface. Imagine that view looking back. And at what point does it become incredible. Even more close and into view? It's a four-person crew. They've done the quarantining. They are ready to go. They just need the weather to cooperate, and this thing will take off sometime tomorrow.
Hey, real quick, I just want to mention before we go, we were talking about these teen takeovers and the possibility of there being another one, and security is being enhanced right outside our doors here at Third Street Market Hall. And if you're a parent right now who knows your child is headed somewhere for the next teen takeover, just say something, because I look out here right now and I just took a peek to see what was happening. We don't have a lot of people around right now at the Market Hall, but I do see like a dad and his daughter right now. They're from out of town. They've got White Sox jerseys on. The daughter's playing one of those games where you reach down with the claw and you try to, oh, can I get that toy? Can I get that toy? They're having a fun time, right? They're from out of town. They probably have no idea that anything like this is even possible right now. And we just don't want Milwaukee to become a place where these are happening day after day. You have one on Sunday at Bayshore. You have one last night in Moody Park, maybe another one today. And who knows what the summer brings. Let's just try to nip this in the bud now.
2:56 in WTMJ. We are out of time. Wisconsin's afternoon news begins in a few minutes.